It's very hard for us to, you know, understand when you first hear that, you know. But, but as Aristotle first discovered, there were these relations that are only a reason, huh? And, you know, when you say Socrates is Socrates, Socrates is the same as Socrates, that's the relation of reason. Because there's only two Socrates in the mind, right? They take it twice, huh? Or Thomas will take, you know, the idea that left and right is something real in us, right? But if I say, you know, the left pillar and the right pillar, that's not really in the pillar. So there's nothing whereby this is left and that's right. Mm-hmm. But it's said in reference to us, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But I used to say, you know, that I'm taller than Tabitha, our cat, huh? Much bigger than Tabitha, right? I'm convinced that's a real relation between Tabitha and me. And if I was the Tabitha, like a toy soldier would be in size to Tabitha, right? Tabitha would be what? I'd be the hunted instead of the hunter, right? Tabitha, I'd be in real trouble with that Tabitha if I was that size, you know? Huh? Well, they got a little bit of respect because of my size from her. So I was really bigger than her, right? That's very important for my survival. Survival. Not my ego, my survival. There's this movie, you know, The Incredible Shrinking Man. The guy took the wrong thing. He's shrinking. Finally, he's so small, he's almost eaten by the family cat, you know. It's a horrible thing to. Yeah, so some relations are real.
Yeah. That's what. When we learned theology, that's what the teacher that we had mentioned, he just mentioned in passing that this, what you're talking about in God, is not a real relation as cause. He referred to it, when we speak of either way of that relation, he said it's a non-mutual relation, because it's not set the same.
Well, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's a real relation on our part, but not
we have a non-mutual relationship with God.
Yeah. You're kidding.
Okay, now the second part is explaining a little bit, first of all, what we mean by the good is what all desire, right? Mm-hmm. The second, therefore, it should be said that when it is said that the good is what all desire, it should not be understood as if each good is what? Desired by all, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But that whatever is desired has the aspect of being good, huh? But when it is said that no one is good except God alone, right? This is understood about what is good through its what? Essence. Mm-hmm. As will be said later. And that's the subsequent article, right? Okay? So that's the way he's understanding what our Lord means, huh? Okay? He's not denying that we partake of good in some way, but we're not good through our essence, right? Mm-hmm. The way God is. Now, to the third, which is the argument about comparison, to the third it should be said that those things which are not in the same genus, if they are what? Contained in other genera, right? In no way are comparable, right? You can't compare things that are in different genera. But God is denied to be in some genus with other goods, not that he himself is in some other genus, but because he is altogether outside the genus, right? And is as the, what? Beginning of every genus, huh? And thus, being the principium or the cause of all the genera, he's compared to all of them by what? Excess in the way that an equivocal cause, you know, it exceeds its effects, huh? And highest good or greatest good implies this kind of a what? Comparison, right? Huh? Okay? So it's not like he's more wise than us in what? The same line of wisdom. Or he knows more theorems of geometry than I know or something. No. But his knowledge is of an entirely different kind, not in. And have the confined generic nature of my geometry, huh? Okay? Now, the third article, whether to be good, essentially, or by essence, or nature, is what? Private to God, right? Okay? So there's a little problem how to translate proprium, you know, but it has a lot of times for Thomas the sense of being what? Unique to, right? Mm. Private to, huh? Okay. Sometimes we speak of the bonum commune and the bonum proprium. Mm. You know? Should that be translated the common good and the proper good, or the common good and the private good? I think is the way it should be translated, right? Okay. Now sometimes it seems almost you should translate proprium proper, but I think it's very often it should be translated private. And I know people will tend to they kind of transliterate it into English to make it proper, but then they would make the other one maybe improper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The common good is my improper good. God is my improper good, or the church is my improper. You know, that's exactly the what you mean, huh? For just as one is okay, it seems that to be good through essence or through his nature is not a property of God, right? It's not private to God. For just as one is convertible with being, so also good, as has been said above, huh? These are among the what? Most universals, huh? Right now it's giving you that what? Idea that if you don't understand the most universal, you don't understand anything. Remember what I argued? If you don't, you can't understand the less universal unless you understand the more universal. So you can't understand what an odd number is if you don't understand what a number is. But you can understand what a number is without knowing what an odd number is. Mm-hmm. Of course, something can be what? More universal than one thing, but less universal than something else. And so, what is most universal, right? Then, if you can't understand the less universal without the more universal, if you don't understand the most universal, you don't understand anything. Of course, first philosophy is about the most universal, so if you don't know first philosophy, you don't know anything. Okay? And some truth to that, right? But likewise, if there is nothing most universal, you wouldn't understand anything. Because if you have to understand the more universal before you can understand the less universal, there'd be an infinity of what? Things to understand before you understand anything. So, anyway, we're back to some of these most universal things like being and one, which is convertible with being, right? And good. Now, sometimes you find people referring to those as transcendentals, right? But transcendental means transcends. What does it transcend? It transcends the ten genera, right? You know? Okay. But every being is one through its own what? Essence, huh? As is clear through the philosopher in the fourth book of Wisdom in the Metaphysics. Therefore, every being is good through its essence, huh? That's kind of interesting what comes up in this objection, because you see how one is closer to what being, right? Than what maybe good is, huh? Mm-hmm. And of course, Aristotle says the subject of wisdom or first philosophy is being and one. Mm-hmm. And then good and true are more like properties, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's a reason to take, you know, one as being closer to that. But every being is good through its. Okay, therefore, every being is good through its essence, right? Just as it's one through its essence. Huh? Okay? Moreover, if the good is what all want, what all desire, since to be itself is desired by all, the to be itself of each thing, or its being, is its good, right? But each thing is being through its what? Essence. Therefore, each thing is good through its essence. That's pretty convincing, right? A lot of times you read these objections, you say, if I only had the objections or someone given me, you know, I might have got along with this. Mm-hmm. And they said that Voltaire, you know, went through and grabbed the objections, you know, and used them on his Catholics he ran into, you know. Of course, they both feel couldn't handle these objections. So.